Do you lead an organization, a business, a company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com. S-I-M-A International. For 50 years, they're experts in retain search, talent management, and personalized coaching. Check out SEMAInternational.com. Well, good morning again here on Circles of Change. It's a pleasure to always welcome my broadcast partner from SEMA International, Marlis Hansen. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I just couldn't be better. Of course, we've had fun these last couple segments kind of doing on-air testimonials with some of our clients. So to that, I'd like to welcome David. How are you today, Dave?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Terrific. Well, let me give a brief introduction to Dave, and also it'll become obvious why Marlis and I thought of doing a segment with him. He began his career in the information technology group of a global manufacturer and a distributor of engineered consumer products almost 20 years ago. David then moved to supply chain management and progressed to lead the function as a senior VP, and then 3 years ago took on a newly created staff role involving corporate strategy, special projects, and market intelligence, reporting to the executive vice president of sales and marketing. So to give the context of these simultaneous business challenging environment, during Dave's tenure, the firm has gone through multiple ownership changes since the founding family sold the firm, a major restructuring, regretfully, because of bankruptcy, now market share, organic growth for both new products and through acquisition, and then relocating and expanding their manufacturing internationally to really now dominate the U.S. market and expand a global footprint. So it's been quite a ride. David describes himself as something between a generalist and a serial specialist, and would prefer not to know what he wants to be when he grows up. I love that. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Physics and French from the University of Scranton, as well as an MBA from Kent State University. David serves on the Board of Trustees of Kol Halev, Cleveland's Jewish Reconstructionist community. He's an amateur sociologist and has a fascination with Eastern Europe in general and Estonia in particular. And he and his wife, Liz, have three very active children. So, again, David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, you know, share with us how it was you got exposed to the process of identifying motivated abilities, the SEMA International services that Marlis and I, of course, are part of.
Well, it's about 3 years ago now that our company, whose current CEO had some experience with the Larson Group in the past.
Thank you.
Decided to bring the Larson Group in to work with us on some leadership development exercises. And in retrospect, one of the very logical things that was done early on was to expose a slice of the upper management group to the SEMA process and establish some baseline regarding everyone's motivated abilities and what the implications are regarding individual careers and how we work together.
Very well said. And if I might add that in addition in your particular case, as I mentioned in the introduction, you'd have such a long and extensive career focused in supply chain management and logistics and distribution that if I recall, our first conversation was about, you know, geez, Zara, isn't there something else I could expand to?
Right. Well, it took me about, after I was tapped on the shoulder with this new opportunity, it took me about 30 seconds to say yes. Not because I was itching for a change, but because I recognized in that maybe an opportunity. And also, when you receive a question like that, clearly there must be some desire on the part of management to see things evolve in that direction. And I thought, you know, change generally can be good. So why not take that opportunity? I think I had found myself on a treadmill a little bit. When you see yourself fighting the same battles in different ways two or three times in a cycle, you know, maybe it's a healthy thing to step out of that, you know, give the reins to somebody else who needs that opportunity and will probably do well and take it to a new level, and give yourself the challenge to learn and grow in other directions.
Marlis, why don't you take it from there and saying, I'm sure what's on both of our minds is, yep, that's what your pattern says.
Well, and there's so much in David's motivation about extracting the potential, kind of making the most out of whatever situation it is or that he becomes a part of, and finding a way to have a positive impact and to shape that in a way that, indeed engages him in a way that works for him. So it's really interesting. For example, one of his achievements was about a situation when one of his managers was terminated, and he was very loyal to that individual and felt really very badly about it. But on working it through and really thinking about how to best maximize and extract the potential, turned out that he made a very good he really made lemonade out of lemons, as they say. Mm-hmm. And so in every situation, David reaches for how do you really get the best out of this? How do you make the most out of this? And it's interesting to see that in his personal life, of course, as well as in his business and professional endeavors.
David, if you can take us, the audience, back to the first time you opened up that final report that Marlis had prepared for you and saw that your drive was, as we said, you've heard Marlis say here to our audience, extract and achieve potential, but also this impress, make an impact on, mark and shape. What came to mind?
You know, it was like looking in the mirror, and I suppose we've all been exposed to psychics or the notion of psychics over the years on radio and TV, and so I have to admit to having maybe just a touch of healthy skepticism about the process. Having gone through things like Myers-Briggs and various pencil and paper type tests, I wasn't quite sure what I would read when I opened up the report, and I have to say I agreed strongly with only about 95% of what I saw in the report. It was really, it captured who I was in a way that I was quite shocked after, really what I consider to be fairly modest preparation and feedback. It really described who I was, and it forced me to confront that in a way that, although I agreed with it, never had I seen something so concise and so powerful in such a concise format, really.
Mm-hmm. And kind of feeling like you probably wouldn't have expressed your own motivation with those words.
Never, never. I don't know that I would have had the words. I mean, to me, the beauty of it is to have a standardized vocabulary that's very precise and is very rich. And so maybe if you had given me, a month of Saturdays, I could have come up with some of those concepts and put them into some organized format to describe myself, but never in that rich a style. I was really quite surprised and pleased.
And if I recall, and of course, in David's case, we've done this technique now with 60 of his colleagues in his firm. So the idea now you all can compare and contrast and also reflect on what it might be getting in the way of the kind of relationships you want. But if I recall the timing in which you went through the SEMA process with Marlis and me, it was also when you were at this juncture of saying, wow, they've offered me the staff position. It's going to report into sales and marketing, which isn't where you grew up. And it was like a multidimensional jump off the diving board.
Right. Well, I think I've gotten over fear of change from having been confronted with change and working through it quite a bit over the years. And I could see, looking at my SEMA map, that many of the elements in the position that I was being asked to take on were quite compatible with my motivated abilities. So that gave me some comfort in making the change that perhaps I wouldn't have had without that bit of insight. So when you look at a document and you say, well, you agree with 95% of it, you could say, okay, that's great, but now what's the value of that? Well, the value not only is the standardized language, but also the fact that you have to confront that, and I think the challenge there is to make something positive, extend that in some useful direction.
Well said. Marlis, the position that Dave went to, of course, in a staff function, dealing with market intelligence, an awful lot of evaluating skills needed. You might want to speak to that as one of the core things that jumped out of his taxonomy.
Okay. Well, he certainly has a couple three really strong evaluating motivations, including the ability to assess and identify potential. As we say in the taxonomy about this particular motivation, this is the ability to recognize potential that perhaps others might not recognize or walk on by or actually, be difficult to even get on board to see the potential. But David has that evaluating ability to see that, and then also by figuring and calculating, which is sort of putting the numerical assessment into the bag as well, which gives him the ability to assess the reality of situations. Sometimes people who are motivated to extract potential can be guilty of what we call, you know, trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, right? But Dave fortunately possesses the ability to calculate and figure and really, check out the reality of the potential in a way that makes it a much more practical, usable kind of motivation.
In fact, if anyone could probably look over Dave's shoulder right now in his office, let me guess, Dave, you have both screens up and you have your three-dimensional Excel spreadsheet tools evaluating some major market move the company's considering.
Guilty as charged.
So it isn't just the ability to evaluate what others present to him, but also I think we developed this idea that David is really loves to create. So he's creating tools and systems so that he can get then to the evaluating and the decision process.
You know, I have to say that one of the beauties of it is that although it's quite clear what my motivated abilities are, it's also clear what they're not. And so as I evaluate situations, projects, tasks, assignments, you know, I need to keep my SEMA map in mind and look for trouble spots or look for assignments or areas that maybe I might not resonate that well with, given the nature of what I'm being asked to do, and then find some way to either make an attitude adjustment, maybe bring some help in to compensate for maybe a lack of motivated ability in a certain area. And so you've touched on one that maybe is a motivated ability, but conversely, maybe, you know, there's, I think, room in our business and in life in general for a certain amount of managing by gut, and that might be something that maybe I'm not as strong on and need to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Right, that you really like to see some kind of data or tangible information that helps you to sort of put that reality into your assessment.
Right.
If that's not there, maybe it's good to call in someone who has a more intuitive kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's right.
Good.
Well, one of the reasons why Marlis and I thought of doing this particular segment and bringing you in particular, Dave, is that when you went through this process, you also had a profound impact on what I'll say is your 5 to 9 life or the things outside of your contributions at your company. And I wondered if you might share that other reawakening that kind of, I don't know what I say, came out from nowhere, but it really resurged back for you in that other core part of your life.
Right. Well, you know, you're talking to somebody for almost all, or let's say 40 or 42 out of his 45 years had no use whatsoever for religion. And going through the process, you know, the prep work for the SEMA exercise involves a lot of, retrospective thinking about your life at really all stages, and then expanding on some stories that you care to relate regarding what you consider to be, by any personal measure, your key achievements in your life so far. And so the act of looking back on all of those things and trying to sort through them in that sense and make some value judgments about them was a very strong trigger in and of itself. And then looking at the SEMA map and realizing, hey, that's me, and reading through the detail and looking in the mirror. It's one thing to look in the mirror and recognize yourself. It's another to see all the pores and all the warts and all the blood vessels and the bloodshot eyes and whatever else. And, warts and all, to realize this is you. And, okay, now what does that have to do with the price of tomatoes? What do we do with that information? And so those two things together were like on the left-hand and the right-hand side of a scale, and they were tipping back and forth. And, you know, it's in vogue today to say, oh, I'm spiritual but not religious. And in some sense, that might have described me for all of those years. I think I had been in some house of worship or another maybe 5 times in my life, but never under my own power, as it were, by choice to go in for an actual service. It was like being hit by lightning. All of a sudden, all of those seeds that had been planted over the years in various ways sprouted as I looked at all this information and went through that self-evaluative process. And it was like being splashed in the face with cold water. I knew what I needed to do. And I said, I have to get involved in the faith community. And that's what I did. And it kind of came out of nowhere because, again, I had really no use for it up until that point in my life.
And at some, even your choice of words are interesting, like the word sprouted in the how that relates to potential and growth.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And so you can just see that once you connected with the potential of that, then you were ready to move.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, as I looked at the map in particular, I could see things like body of knowledge, and I could see policies and expressions, mm-hmm. and all these words have multiple contexts, I think, in which they can thrive. So policies could be a set, you know, halakha, Jewish law. It could be language, could be Hebrew, or language could be right. The language of a faith community. You know, even if no language other than English is used, for example, in a Christian church, there's a language of the service. There's a language of the liturgy. There's all sorts of language around that, so we don't necessarily mean a foreign language. Relationships, culture, history, it all came together, and I looked at all that, and I just had this immense sense of emptiness, and I realized there's a whole part of my 5 to 9 life that I'm completely ignoring. I thought of myself as a very happy and fulfilled person, and all of a sudden I saw this vacuum, and there was, believe me, there was nothing in the FEMA map that says, you have a large vacuum in your life that you need to fill. Call 800-555. Nothing like that whatsoever. But it just became apparent, almost like looking at a road map and not knowing, you know, anything about the region that you're looking at, and then all of a sudden you can see how to get from, you know, Pensacola to Atlanta or something like that, and the route traces itself for you visually, and then you say, oh, okay, now I see it. There it is. It's right as plain as the nose on my face. And that was my experience. I knew what I had to do. It was totally unanticipated outcome of this process.
Well, and the beauty of this, of course, is we went through it with the primary focus on it impacting your work life, and lo and behold, it opened up so many other doors for you. Now, I want to share with the audience, and Marla's jump on here too, is that now when Dave recognized that vacuum and stepped into it, though, his map came to full force because he started to do almost this regional search for what is the right faith community, what is the right actual temple ultimately. And as I said in the introduction, Dave just hasn't been going to service now. He's been traveling, what is it, Dave, over an hour, commute one way, and here you find yourself now on the Board of Trustees, and I wouldn't be surprised at some point if we don't see you pursuing rabbinical studies.
Well, it is a secret desire, I will say that. You know, I don't know if that'll happen, but, you know, we'll see. There's certainly a lot of time left, hopefully, you know, to make that choice. But it's a 70-mile one-way trip, and there's a little bit of the wow factor there, which I know is part of my map. I feel a sense of accomplishment doing that, but if it were just taking a drive, I mean, I could find some, you know, dairy bar in Akron or something like that and make that drive, but to be part of a community, and there's a hurdle involved, and to accomplish that, being an integral part of that community with the hurdles involved, is a little bit extra special.
Marla, your thoughts there?
I was just thinking, so many times we tell people that this process of reflecting on your life work achievements and identifying the recurring themes often results in just a clearer sense of what we call your internal guidance system. And, you know, it gives you, like Dave said, this map or this vision or this just push in a general direction that, you know, maybe you just didn't understand or couldn't visualize, or you just couldn't bring it to fruition before. But evidence that comes from these recurring achievements gives you the foundation for that internal guidance. And so instead of being sort of left with responding to what external guidance, you know, there is out there that we get from, you know, what's going on around us, it prepares you with a really sense of confidence in moving from the internal guidance.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, David and Marlis, thanks so much for joining us. And Dave, as always, I have a hunch this is going to be a part two when we catch up with you on your next part of your journey. But thank you for sharing that multi-dimensional perspective on your SEMA map. And Marlis, we'll catch up with you in a few weeks.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Dave, very much. It was just very well put.
Thanks to both of you. And if one person is motivated by my little story, I'll be very, very happy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care,
bye-bye.
You both. Bye-bye.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.